If you're a facilities manager at a warehouse and your HVAC system goes down, it can turn up the heat, literally. But don't sweat it, Grainger has you covered. Grainger offers over a million industrial-grade products for all your operations, including warehouse HVAC maintenance. And even better, they offer access to experts and fast delivery, so you and your warehouse can both keep your cool. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
A choice right now, between fear and love. It's just a rock.
Out of the dark night of ignorance and into the shining light of truth.
Expounding reality.
A population of citizens capable of critical thinking.
We don't see things as they are, we see them as we are.
There's a level of reality where everything dissolves into an ocean of energy.
We empower our experience by insisting on our authenticity.
That's very profound.
Very.
Expanding reality.
Welcome to Expanding Reality. I am your host, Brandon Thomas. On this incredibly cool episode, best-selling novelist, cryptid researcher, and vocational paleontologist, which just happens to be fun to say, Max Hawthorne joins us to talk about his work, his incredibly wild paranormal encounters with everything from a gravedigger to UFOs to some huge anthropod-type creature to winged entities. Guys, he's had it all. And to top it off, he's been in a Tribe Called Quest rap video just for shits and gigs. Now, all the ways to find Max are going to be located down in the show description. Down there as well is how to sign up to support your favorite show. We have some amazing things going over on Patreon. It's also where all of the bonus content that you get access to is hosted. Come join us for the Insider Hangouts. All the ways to do that, again, down in the show description. But for now, let's get to this conversation with Max Hawthorne. Max Hawthorne, welcome to this show, man. All the ways, of course, to find you located down in the show description, maxhawthorne.com. Got a really cool value exchange type program going on over there for some really interesting content. We're going to talk about it. Author, screen, and songwriter. Very cool. I've got down here that we've just got some fascinating things to talk about, man. Your books, your songs. You were in a Tribe Called Quest rap video, which is awesome. I love them. That's like a throwback for me to the 2000s, like the actual 2000s. And so that's cool as shit, and we're going to talk about it, man. So also want to shout out Mark Eddy. He is the one that connected us, and I'm grateful for that. Mark is incredible. So shout out, my friend. And Max, if you'd like, brother, just introduce yourself for the audience.
Well, thank you. It's a pleasure to be here on Expanding Reality.
Nailed it.
Thank you. I write a lot, novels, screenplays, done a few songs and whatnot. I've ended up getting involved in, I guess you'd call it a UFO/paranormal investigations lately. Videotape some amazing stuff. I put out a website on it with the first documentary on there with real footage, and just, you know, a lot of excitement going on. You know?
It's a fascinating world, and it keeps getting more interesting, keeps getting sillier. People are confused by what they're seeing right now. How long have you been researching the phenomena?
I mean, I've had sightings. I think the first one, I was 19, which is better part four decades ago, but maybe 18 months, something like that. Stuff just fell into my lap, I guess you'd say. Well, that would be incorrect, because the first incident more recently was 2016. My daughter was 7. So some since then. So I guess it would probably more like 8 years, but that was a sporadic thing trying to like capture on video this thing, this entity that we saw, you know, unsuccessfully. And then like about 18 months ago or 16 months ago, bam, something just fell in my lap, and then something else. And now it's like just drowning in it, I guess you'd say.
Well, you've been looking at it for a long time. I mean, 84, you had some unknown creature digging it out of its own grave. And so you've had a variety of sightings as well as your multiple cryptid encounters. So we're going to talk about all of it, dude. I'd like to know, first and foremost, though, what do you think the phenomena is? You've had a wide variety of things. And so without going into your specific stories just yet, you've had a minute to experience this firsthand. You've had challenges recording it, which that plays into a lot of things. You've probably been around folks that were there. You saw something they didn't. The phenomena is wild, and it comes in a variety of shapes and sizes, which you've had, you know, the UFO encounters, the cryptid encounters, as well as this thing digging out of its grave, which, again, I can't wait to hear that story. But what do you think overall is going on right now with that?
I think that reality is not what everyone thinks it is. In fact, I know it's not. It's kind of like our reality is parallel with multiple other realities that we can't see, but they're there. Kind of like two realities overlap each other, and one is invisible to the other, let's say. That makes sense?
Yeah, it totally does. Yeah, I'm just curious why sometimes we can see them and sometimes we can't. Is it selective when it's invisible, or has it got to do with the area or the person seeing it?
I think it's a combination of a dimensional thing, and also some people have latent abilities to see things that others can't and some don't. But like right now, for example, I'm sitting here in my office, and it seems like quiet, just the only sounds you'll hear are you and I talking, and possibly a giant cat when he tries to butt into the interview. But in reality, or expanding reality,
come on,
see, there are all sorts of sounds around me and you. There are radio waves or TV waves. You know what I'm saying? It's like, but we can't hear them. Does that mean they're not there? No, they're there. So it's the same type of thing.
It's interesting, but I hear people saying, I saw Bigfoot or I saw a UFO, not, oh my God, I can't get any sleep at night because I only see these radio waves that nobody else sees, or these, you know, patterns of light, kind of like that movie Lucy, where she could see all the cell phone dialing in. Do you think that's a supernatural ability or ability that people have, that they can actually see that? Because I haven't heard any of it reported. They're usually just saying that some monster is walking around the woods.
Well, a lot of times, quote, monsters walking around the woods are quite possibly beings from another dimension, planet, whatever you might call it. They look like monsters because, you know, they're much bigger and more intimidating looking, et cetera, to us. Some are smaller. But the beyond that, I think that a lot of more advanced beings, I mean, if there are races out there that are tens or hundreds of millions of years older than ours, then their abilities are commensurate with that. So if you look at technology here, I mean, World War One was fought with bolt-action rifles and biplanes. 106 years later, we have a single jet fighter that could annihilate an entire World War II task force, probably without getting a scratch on it. Probably from so far away, they wouldn't even see it coming. So the technology is obviously much, much more advanced for beings from other planets and such.
What do you think about that? That, do you think it's really that we're subject to some sort of technology or some sort of inability to see what some would call supernatural, but some would say natural all around us? And really it's that adaptation that is what's at play here rather than a technology.
I'm sorry, can you clarify?
Yeah, so some people say that what they're seeing is more of an intelligence with the lights, with the turning at 90 degrees. There's these space creatures that they've seen, these blobs floating around in the atmosphere and they drop things. And so some say also that the craft that they see, aliens, if you will, come out of is a sentient being, and that it actually has its own name and all this. So one would think that maybe there's just a realm where that's an entity, not necessarily a ship. You know what I mean?
You mean the ship is the entity?
Yes.
I would surmise that thought control craft are possible, but I think that would be frowned upon because if you think about it, if the person controlling the craft was injured, then the craft would falter, crash. You know, I mean, imagine if you're controlling your craft and you were the computer for it, you're the mind behind that craft, let's say, and anything could throw you off. I mean, an illness, an injury, God forbid. You know, there'd be craft crashing all over the planet, you know, observers, let's say something like that. So, I mean, I believe there are, well, there are beings out there, and they all have their names and their, you know, backgrounds and stories and life stories, just like you and I. That's my belief, and I base that on some empirical evidence and experience.
Fair enough. What do you think about the whole damn thing being like jinn or something that's just one thing masquerading as many things to either mass people or individual people on independent levels? You know, like just one thing that can shapeshift, let's say, like the jinn are alleged to do.
Well, I didn't believe in shapeshifters until recently. And there appears to be a species of animal creature that can change its appearance. As to whether or not other beings, higher beings, can do that, I can't really say. I do believe that the entity that I filmed in the first documentary I made has like cloaking technology that enables him to remain invisible predominantly, and that technology appears to show other entities in there. And the question is, are those other beings? Are those other forms that can be taken to conceal said being? Are those a record of other places and beings he's met? You know, I mean, there's no way to know at this point. But I can say that the individual that's featured in the documentary, that he is what he is. You know, he's that lone person or being, let's say, et cetera. So what's around him? You know, you have to, when people watch the documentary, you look. You freeze frame and you'll see things. People say, oh my God, that's gray. Somebody else will say, oh my God, that's a dog man, as they call it, or different things like that, a Bigfoot. You know, there's all these little faces that appear. What are they? Why are they? Is that a gate type thing or the portal? And it leads, like, other beings are waiting and they want to come through it, you know, and maybe they're not allowed. Maybe he's the gatekeeper or something like that. You know, it's all work. At the end of the day, I mean, human beings have only had civilizations for thousands of years, you know, not millions, etc. So it's more like your toddler stumbling around in the dark, feeling your way into, oh, what's this? Oh, what's that? Oh, that, oh, I don't like that, etc. You know.
Yeah, you nailed it with that. Have you ever seen the movie Nope?
Nope.
Oh, it's a great movie. You should check it out. Were you answering me or repeating?
No, I was repeating, but then I realized I'm answering you at the same time.
So okay. Fair enough. Well, it's a wonderful movie if you want to check it out. I won't ruin it for you, but let's say, well, this may, but okay, the UFOs actually eat people in that thing. So
you say eat people?
Yeah, they suck them up and eat them. So they digest them, and then they spit out all their coins and nickels and keys and stuff like that. So it's a big saucer-shaped thing that comes over people, sucks them into the UFO, abducts them, right? And there's no grays involved. There's no entities involved at all. So a question I had is, do you think it's possible? I mean, as a novelist, I mean, this would be kind of cool. Is a ship that is a sentient being, but it has an ability like an anglerfish to be able to sort of be in one place and draw its prey to it, maybe even physically send out a thought form, an egregore, or a piece of its body that appears to be a bipedal creature. You see this with snakes that have a spider on their tail. Have you seen this? It's actually evolved to physically look like a spider. And so it flings it around.
Yeah, I think that's actually a meme. I don't believe that's real. But, you know, I'd have to double check on that one. But I understand what you're saying. It sounds like a more complex version of that old original Star Trek episode, Doomsday Machine, where they had the planet killer.
I didn't catch it.
Yeah, it's but you should definitely watch, especially with the remastered versions and the better effects.
Okay.
You know, this original Star Trek. And in Doomsday Machine, there's this, I don't know how big this thing is, it's a 10-mile long thing that flies through space, and it's an automated, semi-intelligent device. It looks like a giant, elongated, I don't know, saucer or something like that. And it takes planets apart. It literally destroys planets, slices them up with these, you know, blasts of power, and absorbs the actual chunks of debris, which is its fuel. So it's self-fueling, which means it lasts forever, which is terrifying. And it also has tractor beams to draw things towards it, kind of like what you're saying, et cetera. So, I mean, that sounds like a more advanced or more complex version of that. I mean, that would be, like, generally speaking, I think that higher beings don't go around destroying planets. I have a vast belief that this planet has been, in fact, I'm sure of it, has been explored and experimented on beings and different creatures here in terms of evolution, et cetera, for tens or even hundreds of millions of years. And lots of belief in us. You know, that would explain the rarity of hominid fossils, et cetera. It would explain the sudden disappearance of Neanderthals tens of thousands of years ago when they were the dominant species occupying much of the planet. So, but yeah, I think it would be very counterproductive. A race that was doing that, I think, would be violently, even vehemently opposed by every other intelligent race out there and would probably be stopped.
Yeah. It would be a bad tactic to come in all guns a-blazing style and just sort of destroy something rather than farm it out, which seems to be possibly what's going on here with the Vril, you know, sort of taking over political figures and things like that and controlling them like puppets to make decisions, which actually then sort of slow, loose, burn everybody. And then you just pluck a few of the crop every now and then. And that's a really sustainable model. I think that's more of a vertical integration model for a UFO society.
Yeah, I mean, if you were a malevolent species, that is what you would do. You would come in and seize control subtly using things like bribery and blackmail and, you know, appealing to greed, hubris and things of that nature, hiding behind the scenes. You know, you might even put other entities out there as the boogeyman and make people think that they're the ones behind all of it. You know, I see a lot of bad press, people targeting reptilian races as being these monsters and such like that. But the entities, the two that I filmed, were both Church of Reptilians, and they weren't violent, but they weren't hostile or anything like that. I don't think they were happy that I got them on video, especially the first time. No, but so if you were going to choose a race to use as your front man, as the, you know, the poster child for being a villain while you hid behind the scenes, then I would imagine that a draconian would be ideal for that based on size and being somewhat intimidating looking and that type of stuff.
Yeah, we do have a shirt available, so check the show description, guys, if you're interested in this, but a shirt available that reads Lizard Turds, and it actually is to delineate the fact that, yes, we do think that lizard races possibly do exist, but not all of them are turds, and so this one really is about that specific group of lizard turds, because we know that not all of them are that way. It's very important. Labels are important, Max, and we are mindful of it here, so good call.
Yeah. I mean, you have to think about, like, I was asked that question on multiple shows, like, you know, oh, why do you think they're out to eat our children and all this stuff like that? I'm like, where are you getting this from?
You know, well, what, like, do you think they're out to eat our children, Max?
I don't think if there's any beings out there to eat children, I mean, I think there's a lot of carnivorous races out there. They don't have to be reptilian or anything like that. I think there's a lot more harm being done to human children by human beings than by entities from other places. But you have to look at any given race, any given species, whatever you want to call it, being, as, and I've said this before in other shows, that everyone has their own mindset, their own personality, you know, their own belief system, their own sense of honor, integrity, or lack thereof. So if you look at the human race as an analogy, we range from Mozart and Michelangelo to Mengele. See what I'm saying? And everything in between. We have the wonderful, the artistic, the good, the kind, the generous, the average Joes just doing their job and trying to, like, you know, not pay a lot of taxes. And then you have the malevolent ones all the way on the other side, pretending to be nice out there, you know, farming people, bringing kids, who knows what, you know?
Collecting taxes.
A lot of them run for office, in my opinion.
Yeah. Well, we wouldn't disagree with you there. We're going to go in, and I've noted it here, so stay tuned for the afterthought, guys. Check the show description for that. But we're going to go into the Vril and the Black Eye Club after this, because I think it's a fascinating thing to what you said, because it goes right along with it, so we'll do it. So I'm interested in you explaining some of these amazing sightings that you've had, if you don't mind, sir. So do you mind kicking us off with your 1984, this thing digging itself out of a grave? What's going on with this, Max?
You know, I get mocked and take so much, like, grief about that, that I really regretted putting it in my book, Monsters and Marine Mysteries, because it's like, and I said it in there, you know, the publisher independent publisher who was eventually like kicked to the curb, had convinced me to put it in there. So I ended up keeping it, but I was just 19 and I had developed this rather annoying or stupid habit of going for midnight walks in a local cemetery with our book. You know, I was this young, semi jock doing martial arts. You know, I, as Brooklyn, as they say in Brooklyn, you know, I thought who I was, you know, like, hey, he thinks who he is, you know, this type of stuff. I thought I was indestructible. You know, I had my Doberman and, you know, we go for these late night walks and stuff. And one night, going through the edge of the cemetery there, obviously it was pretty dark. This thing started to, you heard it before you saw it. I heard the ticking sounds. And you know, if you hear it, you'll never forget it. It sounded like this. And I'm like, what is that? You know, we both stopped and you could feel it eventually, like through the soles of your feet. And I knew it was something digging. You know, it was slow, rhythmic, persistent, gradually getting louder. And I realized it was coming from a tombstone. I was like on this edge of the road, we're on the edge of the cemetery with a huge hill to the left there that went into the woods. It was very steep. And it was coming from approximately from this big, ugly old tombstone. And the hair on the back of my neck started standing up. And I really only talking about this even 40 years later. Something just burst out of the ground about a yard in front of the stone. Okay. And I was about 10 feet from it, I would say. And boom. And I looked at it and I saw it and it looked like a hint. It came right out of the ground, like this thing. Like that. And I went, holy shit. I literally said that. Wait, am I allowed to say that?
Yeah, of course. Yeah, yeah. Speak case speak.
And I was like, I froze, you know, and I was staring at it. And I started trying to clarify what I was seeing. I was like blinking, trying to make it go away. You know, you try to clear your vision, you do a double take, all this stuff like that. And then I started trying to process it as something other than what it was. Like I was trying to it's a groundhog, it's a squirrel, it's a rabbit, it's a mole rat, anything other than what it was, you know. And I even had that Bugs Bunny thing, I took my wrong turn at Albuquerque thing, coming to your head, but it wouldn't go away. And then it was there, and then it just sort of he was tired. I guess you would be too if you dug and digging through tons of earth, you know. It had pale gray skin, at least in the dim light, and kind of leathery, almost a little saggy, jagged nails, again, I think from digging. It was sizable. And, that's what happened. And then it must have gotten its breath, so to speak. And then it started lifting up again, and I knew the rest of it was going to follow. And I knew if I ran in a straight line to try and get to the cemetery that way, it would see me. And for some reason, I believed that if it laid eyes on me, I was done. There would be no escape. And so I literally turned it up this incredibly steep hill into the woods. And I said this line from Clint Eastwood movie, and I just went, feet don't fail me now. And I dove down that hill. And if you imagine a frightened, athletic 19-year-old running at top speed down a hill that's at 45-degree angle, I was dragging this Doberman pincher who was choking behind me. You could hear him going like this, trying to keep up, you know. And everything was moving in slow motion. And I was I think that saved my life, because otherwise I should have ran smack into a tree and just killed myself, you know, or hit my head on a branch, or what. I was leaping over logs and boulders and dodging trees like this, until I hit the forest floor. And then I just bolted and I ran until I was exhausted, which was about a mile later, in the mud. I jumped back up, so I caught my breath. I looked back to see if it was coming. If it had been coming, I would have had a heart attack and died probably right there, you know. And I ran the rest of the way home. And I told my brothers. I ran in the house like a frightened child. And I was grabbing Bibles and crucifixes, and I laughed about it. I was sprinkling garlic powder on my hands and all, because we didn't have any garlic. It's funny now, but it wasn't funny then.
Well, the things you do, right?
My brothers were laughing at me and mocking me, and they were like, that's that didn't happen. You know, we're going to go back. We know that spot. You're going to take us to the exact place, and we're going to show you that you made this up. You imagined it or whatever. And I was like holding my Bible. I was like, I'm not going. No, not going. You can't make me. I am not going. Never going back there again. And I was like, and they kept bothering me. And I was like, look, I'll tell you the exact spot, the exact stone. I said, there'll be a hole in front of it. Like anybody. I said, and you guys go and go find it. I said, and when you don't come back, I said, and you won't. This was real clear. I said, I'll tell mom what happened to you. And then they looked at each other, and then all of a sudden they didn't want to go, you know. But I never went back there ever again. It's been 40 years, you know. So, and I put in the book, there was even some murders in the cemetery, some bodies were found and stuff, you know. So they were blaming on gang violence, you know, but they didn't say the cause of death, you know. All right, like that. But I mean, if you know, but people can believe what they want. But if you were something hiding, you know, feet on the dead, or you had disposed of bodies, what better place than a cemetery? Every time there's a grave dug, you know, you want to hide something, you can just tuck it under it, onto the coffin, you know. But
damn, what if it was somebody still alive that was trying to dig out? Like back in the day, they had bells, you know.
First of all, this stone was 100 years old, I guess, number one. Number two, the ground was completely normal. You know, like it had been in there a long time. I think like it had realized like my habit of coming through there, you know, and maybe it woke up and I piqued its interest or something like that.
Yeah.
You know? But when it came out, like the ground, like chunks of it flew up with it and everything. But it was a humanoid hand, but it wasn't a human hand. It was big. I mean, this thing would have been 7 feet tall minimum, maybe larger.
Damn. Yeah. Well, I'm curious about why you're hesitant to tell that story. Is it because are you concerned about how it's going to be received, or has it not been received from non-judgment in the past?
There's always an occasional, how can I say this, troll out there who I guess has no life and probably lives in their mother's basement or something like that, who seems to like try and want to gain significance by trying to target, you know, other people, you know, whether you're a cryptozoologist or an author or whatever, and they'll go around like spreading nonsense about you. And there are some people that'll be like, oh, he was drugged or drunk or something like that. But I don't drink and I don't do drugs. I never have.
Well, but you know that. Why allow something so small to topple such a big dude doing such cool things? Because that story is really interesting, and I find it valuable. So I think it's interesting that there's something rolling around up there that steals your confidence just a little bit. Not enough to not tell it, which is great, but to be mindful of it because of how it's going to be received. So it's also nice to invite you on a show that, man, we don't judge here. I think what you're doing is valuable, and there's no trolls in this audience. And if they do, we don't listen to them anyway because they're dickheads.
But, it's not really an audience, but I mean, you know, I've seen like a couple of dedicated like losers that will go all over social media, bad mouthing me and a few other, you know, authors and you know, researchers and stuff like that. And, you know, it's one of these people that you have no life, so you try and build your life on attacking others, you know, like want to stand on the shoulders of giants and like, you know, yell in their ear and curse at them and stuff like that.
I think it hurt people, you know, and those are just voices that for some reason weren't able to be heard. So they think it's going to be heard that way. And it's interesting. It's such a fascinating thing. We can't even just, I find it interesting that there are challenges in even having conversations about the kind of cool things that we're excited about because of what you just said. Now, I will also give you that most of them are fucking bots, man. So that's a nice consideration as well.
Bots.
Yeah, just not, they're not, yeah, bots and putzes. So hurt people, guys. So we love y'all. You have seen a UFO doing some wild shit. What would you classify as a UFO? Something you couldn't clearly identify as a plane and rule out, or was there something extra about it?
This was about 5 years after the 7-3 incident, when my family still had that house in Southwest Philly. And, I was there visiting, a neighbor died recently, something like, it's like the night of their funeral week. But that's why I was able to get the approximate day. But I was standing out front, and it was nighttime, and the airport's near there. And so you see a lot of planes in the sky, constantly, you know. Even then, so let's say this was... This would be like 1989, I think it was, or something. And so I was like, you know, just mulling over somebody taking their own life. And not a happy topic. And I was looking up at the sky. It was very dark, obviously nighttime, no cloud covering. You could see all the planes, you know, the flashing lights and stuff like that. And, you know, these planes, they fly at 500 miles an hour. And all of a sudden, above all of them, I saw this bright white light, and it was like searing across the sky incredibly fast. I mean, like, if the other planes were going like this, you know, they was doing this, like that. And I thought it was a jet fighter. And I'd never seen a jet fighter in the sky before, anything like that. So I was like fascinated. I was watching it. And I think it was just, I mean, hauling ASS across the sky. And then it went like this. It went there, and then it just went like that. There was no deceleration. There was no turn. It was physically, at least by our technology then and now, as far as I know, you know, it just did a complete 180. And, I mean, everything in there, it must have been going thousands of miles an hour. You know, everything in there should theoretically have been like pulverized to liquefied against the inside of the hull. But it didn't. And it just went the reverse direction, same speed, turned around and just kept going, you know. And I, one of the first shows I was on, I told this to, I forget who he is. He's one of the top people with the UFO organization that monitors here in North America and stuff. I don't remember his name. I'm sorry. But, and they had me tell him the story. And he said, you know, he goes, ordinarily, he goes, I would have said you're full of, you know what? Of course, obviously, he didn't say, you know what? He goes, but actually, and he said, like a month after that, he goes, I saw the exact same thing, except it was coming straight down from the sky. And I thought it was a satellite fall. And he said, and then they just did the same thing. And it went, woo, right back up, you know? So that made me feel good to, you know, that there was somebody who's an expert in the field and who had personally seen something, like, I wouldn't say exactly the same, but capable of the same.
So. Yeah, those erratic flight patterns are interesting. And, you know, another reason could be just an entity, like a bioluminescent entity that flies around at night and just kind of can do that. Because we've seen birds, like, make those crazy turns based on their flight and size, and it looks like that would be a lot of G-force. But I don't know, man. It may just be a damn entity or an illuminary, like an angel or something like that. What do you think of angels?
I that such beings exist, but let me just preface one thing: the size of the, you know, the light that I was looking at would contraindicate something like an orb, you know, spirit, that type of thing. Yeah. This would have been, oh gosh, the size of maybe a large vehicle or maybe a small house. I mean, you couldn't say, you know, I was miles and miles away, but comparing it to the planes, that it seemed to be like right above and sort of equidistant, and it was not tiny. It wasn't a, you know, an orb-sized thing or something like that. And as for angels, yes, I 100% believe that. I don't believe they have feathered wings and halos and look like you see in, you know, Bible school or anything like
no.
that. But I believe these are super advanced beings that, I mean, think about it. If you were a beautiful female Arcturian, I'll just pull some random, you know, race out of the hat there, and you emerge in this dimension through a portal to someone who in need or something like that, maybe someone who was hurt on a battlefield or sick in a hospital or something like that. And for whatever reason, maybe they had, you know, their DNA was more what people star seed or something like that. You know, you would certainly appear as an angel, especially if you had super advanced healing abilities and could save that person's life.
Hmm. What do you think about the biblical angels and demons? Do you think that's going on, that this is a spiritual realm with some sort of battle being played out?
Spiritual realm. I believe there is an ongoing conflict between advanced beings that are positive and some and fewer in number that are negative. As to whether they're actually demons, that remains to be seen. I may have dated one in the past, next to mine.
You know, because it's interesting. It's based on your worldview, right? Because people who believe in aliens and things see saucers and aliens and greys and stuff like that. But people who don't necessarily subscribe to that idea, but they're very into the Yeezus, will see demons or angels or something like that. It seems like, again, maybe one thing that can manifest itself as whatever the person in front of it needs to believe that it is.
Well, I mean, again, like there are, like I've managed to... doing a lot of legwork and going to different places and stuff like that, managed to get a lot of different entities on like thermals and infrared, you know? And I mean, some of these beings, I don't like to call them creatures because that sounds like more savage or animalistic, let's say. By our standards, could be quite frightening looking, you know? But beauty is in the eye of the beholder, and you could be the, you know, biggest mush imaginable, and if you were like 9 feet tall and covered with spikes and had huge fangs and stuff like that, you know, one might assume that you were, you know, something dangerous or evil or something like that, you know. So it's more a matter of what you bring to the table, you know. So
yeah, might just be a big old miscommunication, huh?
Yeah, and I think people make assumptions. You know, I mean, a lot of problems that have historically happened between people here are a lot of times based on initial judgments, based on appearance or things of that nature. But I think it's more that you get what you give. What you put out comes back to you. If you want to stop conflict, stop fighting. Stop starting fights.
Don't start none, there won't be nothing, right, Max?
Yeah.
I love it.
You know, you don't want to, like, why propagate mistruths or something like that?
Yeah, can't do that. It's just so weird, man. This place just gets weirder. Okay, so let's bring a few years ahead in your experiences here to 93. You found some huge, what is this, an anthropod, what is that word? Anthropod-like creature?
Anthropoid? Yeah, that means, like, human-like or something, ape-like.
Oh, okay. Anthropoid. Learned a new word. Appreciate you. So what happened there with that? Was it just a guy that hadn't shaved? Can we rule that out?
Yeah, I was just laughing because a friend of mine was busting my chops about my back being as thick as the grass on my lawn. And
Were you your own anthropod that you saw, like a time travel bootstrap paradox type thing?
No, it was apparently a Sasquatch that was swimming in a lake in Connecticut, and I was there at the crack of dawn, sitting there quietly on a bucket, and apparently it was diving for crayfish. I suspect that it might have been a younger one, and I think the crayfish are like potato chips to us, you know, like a nice treat, because that area, it was like a causeway, had all this large chunks of gravel and rocks and something that were built up to build that causeway, that road going across the river, I mean the lake, I'm sorry. And this creature being was out there diving for crayfish. It would come up, you'd see its head, and then it would go back under, and it would disappear for sometimes a couple of minutes, which is an amazing feat of holding one's breath, by the way. And then it would come back up a little closer each time, and go under again. And it was slowly working its way towards me. It started off pretty far. Like, I'd have to go through the gauge exact distance, but I'm going to guess it might have been 150 feet away, something like that, you know, at the beginning. Maybe more, maybe a little less. And I was watching him, you know, I went through this, like, I wasn't catching any fish. It was a very flat, calm morning. Nobody on the lake, just still like glass, you know, and the water was so murky from it having rained so heavy the night before that you couldn't get a bite. And it was like coffee. So I was bored and watching this thing. And at first I thought it was a muskrat, you know, the head I thought was a muskrat. And then it was too big. Then I thought it was a beaver. You know, beavers have that butt, and it could have looked like the head. So, and by the head was rounded. It wasn't like conical like this, just so we're clear on that.
Okay, I was going to ask.
Yeah, I knew it was coming, so I figured I'd.
Thank you.
Yeah, and as it got closer, I started being able to make out some stuff. Like, I noticed that it, like, I went through all these different species trying to, just like with the thing in the cemetery. You know, you try and figure it out. But this went on for like 15 minutes. You know, it wasn't like a quick thing. it was there for like, service and be there for like, I don't know, 10 seconds, 20 seconds maybe, and then go under, disappear for a minute or two, whatever, this type of stuff. And it wasn't a deer, it wasn't, there was nothing that made sense, And I eventually started thinking, because I kind of stood up, and when the head came up, I saw behind it, you got to remember the head was pointed right at me. So you see that. And then since you're kind of like lake level, it's hard to see behind that, but I got an indication of like a body and legs were under the surface of the water right behind it. And I'm thinking, an Irish setter. That's what I was trying to tell myself, because the color was like an Irish setter, that reddish brown, and thick hair.
Yeah.
But it looked like there were legs. And the cool part, and I've said this on multiple shows, is if Sasquatch has ever proven to exist, is when they swim, the legs move together. Like the mermaids.
Like a mermaid, yeah. Ooh, mermaid squatch.
Yeah. Mersquatch.
Mersquatch, okay. Sounds like American's class, yeah. Sasquatch. Mersquatch.
Yeah, so, but eventually what happened is I was like, I'm going to find out what this is. The only camera we had back then was a Polaroid. This is a long time ago. It was like, something like that. And my brothers were on the other side of the causeway, and they had the freaking Polaroid and stuff. So I decided I was going to stand up, and I was going to creep up the hill, work my way up it so I could get high enough up that I could see through the water better and figure out finally what this thing was, And I think at this point it was probably, 75 or 100 feet away. I'm guessing. Again, if I went back to the lake and I took like a little boom, had something go out on it, I could get you pretty exact numbers. But so I started doing that, and it had submerged when this was going on. So I figured I'd stealthily go up the hill, and get into a higher point. So when it popped back up, I'd be like, aha.
Gotcha, I know. Bitch.
But what happened is it's a lot of loose shale, whatever, the rock, and it just some of it tumbled down, and it must have hurt it. And it surfaced, but it did surface where I was expecting, because it kept coming like this, closer. I was looking over there, and then it was just a big splash, and I turned to the side, and about maybe 50 or 75 feet, sort of like to my, 2 o'clock, let's say, it broke the surface. And then I don't think it realized all this time that I'd been there, with the fog and quiet, whatever, and stuff, and the sun just coming up with it must have surfaced and saw me, and then it dove. And I turned just in time to see its shoulder and its upper arm and its forearm like this. So if the water was going across like this, you saw all this like that. And I saw it quite clearly, and it was very muscular and covered with thick links that didn't shave. Dude, this thing was literally, the hair was as thick as an Irish setter's, and obviously soaked, and then it just went under. And to my right, there was a narrow, let's call it a channel, maybe 1.5 times as thick as my office or something like that. And that went under the causeway. It was like a big giant pipe, like a conduit for the water to flow back and forth, whatever. And it was heading through that to go under the causeway. And I guess it wanted to get to the main lake or something. And so I rushed over and I saw it swim past. It was Michael Phelps would have been smoked by this thing. That's fast as it swam. Okay. But the part that scared me was a little bit was that when I saw it in the distance, I was guessing it was about 5 feet long, from 100, 150 feet away. But when it blew past underwater, you could see a shadowy form, and the water went like this, like whoa, as it went past, because it was displacing a lot, and it was a lot bigger than I thought. I'm pretty sure it was a lot bigger than me. And I remember I kind of leaned back. I was like, whoa, what is that? And it went right through. And then I ran up the gravel up to the top of the road, again, almost getting clipped by a Buick or something. It's all in Monsters and Marine Mysteries in the book, and everything with photos and all sorts of stuff. All the other
links
things
below.
Yeah, and I rushed over to my brothers, I'm like, guys, and I was calling it a hairy red thing at that point, right? At this point, I had sort of, for many years, I just decided it was a huge orangutan, that somebody had a pet. You know, there were some wealthy people around there, like lake houses. Like somebody's got a huge pet orangutan that goes out on the lake and swims and dies for paper. Okay. Not exactly a logical thing, but my brain was looking for something to grasp because I didn't really know about Bigfoot. Yeah. No, but I was like, guys, there's a hairy red thing. You got to see it. I'm telling you, it's going to come right through here. Watch. But nothing happened because the speed it was traveling, by the time I'd gotten like just to the top, it had probably already come through, you know, let alone getting almost killed and going through crossing the road and going on the other side, stumbling and stuff like that. And they were standing there. They're like, they start calling me names, of course, you know, and mocking and whatever, you know, sibling and stuff. And then off to our left, maybe 100 feet away, there were all these thick lily pads at the edge of the water on that side. And it was like under them, it was like this and stuff. And you heard it like splash, like something just grabbed something, but then it moved and then it went further down. It was like swimming like 15 feet, 20 feet, and then coming up again and then going and hiding under the lily pads.
Like
and
coming up for breath under the lily pads so you couldn't see it, getting air and then coming, wow. Yeah.
I mean, it was not stupid, and it went like around a little bend, and then it was whatever, you know. But again, they, you know, I took a lot of abuse about it, whatever, whatever. You know, but yeah, that's what I call the hairy red thing. So
damn, well, you're not judged here. So that I'm grateful again that you told it, because what a fascinating story, and especially to describe it the way that you did before you knew that Bigfoot was a thing. Have you seen anything that you would call Bigfoot since then? No. No hollows in the woods or knocking or anything like that? Have you heard any Class B type sightings, is what they called, like behavior not sighted?
One time I was, there was an incident by my house where the woods is like right across the street or whatever. I was taking out a large sack of cat food. Okay, from the litter robot, those big machines that, you know, clean the litter for you, for that, and every once a week you got to take out a sack and everything. So I was, the trash had already been taken out, and I was told, oh, you forgot the cat, the litter robot contents. So I walked out carrying 15 pounds of this stuff, whatever it was, and I walked down there. This was, I think, in late November. I have to look, but I think it was like 2 years ago or something like that. And I got down to the end of the driveway. So there's a small street, and it was about, I don't know, 60 feet to my left or something. Yeah. And as I lift up the trash can lid, and I have the sack there, something directly across the street, like either in front of the trees or right in the tree line, it threatened me. And there's no doubt it's a threat. It sort of sounded like a mixture between a bear and a lion or something like that. And it was like this, like that kind of thing. But it was like kind of drooly at the end. Like it sounded wet, salivating, which was very unnerving, if you understand. Especially when you're standing there in sort of semi darkness and your only weapon is a sack of cat poop.
Yeah.
And literally, I'm holding the lid of the trash can open from the back and holding the sack.
That may have been what he was excited about.
No, I don't think that was it. And I'll tell you why in a second. So I'm like, that's nice. So I lowered it in there, closed it. I very slowly backed up, almost moonwalked back to the house. Okay. And then the missus was like, I told her, she's like, oh, maybe she get a flashlight, go out and see what it was. And of course, being an idiot, and my, you know, women live longer than men, I decided, you know, you're right. And I had a carry permit, so I had my, you know, sidearm on my hip, and I took a flashlight and I went back out. You know, went to the edge of my property and I struck a tree line and I was like, come on, come and get some, you know, this type of stuff. Whatever it was, I could feel it watching me, but it didn't come out, thankfully. It's no one was harmed. No animals or persons were harmed in the filming of this, but so I don't know what it was, but I did some research like the next day or that night and found out that that whole area of Bucks County has had like dozens of dog man sightings. They call it.
Oh, yeah.
Some of which have been reported as being 9 feet tall. So,
that with Bigfoot too, allegedly.
I think there's been some of those around it too. So I don't know. I don't know if it was a Sasquatch, if it was, you know, something like that. But I concluded that the reason that it happened is the night before I had this habit, which, by the way, this cured me of this habit. But I used to have this habit of going for late night walks around the development, et cetera, which is in a wooded area. And, you know, for losing weight, health, whatever. And that the night before, literally the night before, I had been out there, and only 10 minutes into my hour walk, I desperately needed to take a. So I had, you know what, woods is right there. So I literally walked into the woods right there, went in 30 feet. It was a big fallen log, and I baptized it, you know, and blessed it, and I'd run on my way. And I suspect that this being or creature or whatever took that as a, you know, like I was horny in its territory. You know how animals mark their territory with scat, urine, like lions do that, all sorts
sure.
of it's common. And it's I think predominant. It was being challenged, and it was kind of like threatening me. So, yeah.
Damn. Okay. Well, yeah, I mean, he's going to growl at you to drop a fudge dragon on his log there, buddy. Dropping your own logs, you know? So, I wanted to ask you before we go into our afterthought here, which again, guys, all the ways to find him is located down below. And we're going to talk about your website as well. This thing is cool as shit. 2016, you had a winged entity that you saw like crash landed. And this is one that you had challenges getting on film. But please tell us about this crazy thing, because you have such, again, a variety of things that you have had that are freaky woo woo that have popped up in your life.
I don't know what it is. You know, I'm like, I seem like I'd be a magnet for this stuff.
What's point. Your blood type? Do you know?
Yes, I do.
It's what is it?
I'd rather not say.
Okay, fair enough.
It's one of the rarest ones.
O negative?
No.
Okay. Yeah, if you rule out O negative, that's interesting. It's part of a study I've got going on, but go ahead.
The I picked up my daughter at aftercare, and this was late November of 2016. I think it was November 22nd. I know, because when I walked in, I did a drawing of what we saw and the date on everything. So it was like in my head fresh, you know, and stuff. But, and we were going, driving through the development and all these places around here, there's a lot of woods, you know. I have deer in my yard all the time. Sometimes wild turkeys, and you name it, you know, it's here. But, we're driving through this, up the street or along the street, and it was cold out, I think 36 degrees, I checked it. And it was flurrying a little bit, it wasn't sticking. I think because, you know, 36 is a little warm, and the asphalt, of course, stays a little warmer also for a while, you know. But, you know, there's some little flurries, you know, not really enough to really obstruct the view or anything like that. And, you know, I'm driving with my child. She was only 7 at the time. So you want to, you know, be careful. Nobody else was outside because it was dinner time. It was around 6:30 at this point. You know, so all the smart people were in. But, I saw something on the road. And then I, you know, slowed down immediately. And I said, more talking to myself. I said, oh, you got something on the road. And of course, my daughter, who was in the car, she was on this side. She leaned over like this, and she was looking too. And it was what looked like a box, about maybe yay big, dark colored in the room. And since I mean, you just work through a box of nails, nobody got a bright mind to drive or a box of nails, you know. Or if it was, you know, an animal or something, you know. So I decided to slow to a crawl and straddle it with my tires. You know, small, so you could easily do that with an SUV. And as I was getting closer to it, it started to move and kind of got a little taller. And of course, I believed it was still a box. And I decided it was windy, that the box had a flap, and the flap had got pushed up by the wind, hence it was getting taller.
Logical.
Yes. But logic just went right out the window a second later, because in the headlights, and I stopped at this point, I think it was about 20 to 30 feet from my headlights at this point, pretty close. It was some sort of creature or being at the time. I said creature, it kind of like was like pushing itself up, right, you know, like this, and it apparently face down in the street. And I don't know what happened to it. It was hurt. I think it might have gotten winged by an owl, or maybe hit a power line, or, you know, maybe it hit a car. I don't know. You know, or car hit. But But and I think it had been stunned and hurt, and it was like lying face down when I started bearing down. And it looked right at me, and it went like this, like, kind of like that. Yes, that's exactly the look on my face right there. Okay. And its head was about the size of an apple, and it had a dark gray skin, which it, later I decided maybe it was matching the asshole in color to camouflage itself.
You know? A cuttlefish, yeah.
And it had blackish eyes and a blackish mouth and all that. I see much of your teeth, you know, a little bit of a quick thing. And I got the impression that there was like this, like it was real bristly behind the head, like almost like the head sticking out of something like a body. But anyway, and I saw like sort of like shoulders and arms. And like I said, it kind of like screeched at me. You couldn't hear anything because the windows were closed, you know. And I'm staring at it now, and I'm holding the steering wheel, and we're just looking at each other. And my brain is now like I don't know if you ever read my first novel, Crummish Rising.
No? Not yet.
We'll remedy that. But in the book, there's a computer system called Archimedes. And Archimedes, if you supply it with like physical evidence or photographic evidence of a species, like a tooth or a bone fragment or something like that, it can go through the entire animal kingdom at the speed of light practically and figure out what that was. So my brain is now trying to do that again to justify what I'm staring at, which sort of looked like the homunculus from the old Sinbad movie.
Yeah, okay, yeah, yeah.
So,
homunculus. We had one-on-one on One Ayala. Shout out, dude.
But, so I was trying to figure out what it was, and I was going through every animal I knew of in North America, and there was no way to identify this. It did not look like an animal. It kind of looked almost humanoid, you know, the face and stuff, except it was a little flatter. It was different, you know, like, just different. And so I never used to curse in front of my daughter, you know, especially when she was younger. But I couldn't slip out. I just literally out loud went, "What the hell is that?" You know? And she pointed at it. Okay. When I said that, it sprang up in the air. All of a sudden, like this. And its wings, which I did not expect, went like this. And I'm guessing the wingspan was 3 or 4 feet. That's what, you know, she calculated based on with the dash or something like that. And the wings were, there were four of them. And they were like sort of like dragonfly wings, but they were exactly like identical in size and what elongated wolves. You know, you have the dragonfly stuff with these tapered shapes to them and stuff like that. And they were doing this, like holding it in position, like vibrating like a hummingbird. And now it was illuminated in the lights, even my headlights, and it was weird that on the ground it was like this dark thing, nothing offensive, anything like that, but in the air it was entirely different. Remember you were mentioning angels?
Okay.
Well, if you saw something like this, although this thing was only like a foot or a foot and a half tall, but if you saw something like this, like a larger one or sort of from a distance, you would probably think that's what you were looking at. Because the body became very sort of ethereal, like silvery, white, translucent looking. It was quite beautiful.
As it was flying?
As it was suspended. It was in the air. Eye level with me.
Yeah.
Sitting in a trough, probably 6 feet up. Okay. And it was almost like it was glowing. It was like translucent, silvery and stuff. And the wings, this was the cool part. I don't think you would have seen them normally, but because of the headlights, they were like, the edges were like scintillating, like as if it was light was traveling around the edges as they were vibrating, you know, so you could see them clearly. And so I said, "What the hell was that?" And I did this, it was like Dale again. And my daughter points right at it. She goes, "It's a fairy, Daddy. It's a fairy."
That's what I was thinking when you were talking about it. Yeah.
Yeah. And it went like, it looked right at her like that. And then I don't know if it realized there was a child there or not. Somebody told me it probably changed appearance because of her presence. You know, you don't child. They don't want to look scary or anything.
Right, right.
don't cut me any slack, you know, whatever.
No. You get the full on, dude. Take right. it.
Or maybe because it had regained its energy, maybe it was getting ready to portal out of there. I don't know what. But it's for her. And they look right at each other for a split second. You know, and then it went over the truck and it was gone. And I've said this many times, I'll say it again. It was an amazingly powerful flyer. I mean, like, in retrospect, I was thinking, there's no way an owl could have caught this thing, you know, unless it caught it completely unawares. And owls are obviously fly like, so.
Oh, they're so quiet. I reposted a video about it. It's insane. Yeah.
So, but, and then it was gone. And I walked into the house muttering to myself, you know, remember when, Ava was all like, we saw it there. Stuff, and I'm like looking up, like, you know, bats, largest bat in North America, this, that, trying to make sense of it all. And that's when I started really getting a little, it's amazing that I just caught that as it fell without even looking at it.
I think we caught it on camera. Well done.
Thank you.
It's check the video version.
But, so like at that point, I started really thinking, you know, I'm like, because I knew I'd seen something in the cemetery, which I believe was some sort of vampire, like that Strigoi, people told me, you know, like it comes up a grave, this type of stuff, and, you know, like feeds on blood or something like that. But now I'm thinking, like, you know, are they all real? Are all the legends true? Just like somebody in a movie once said, you know, that type of stuff. You know, I was a little shaken up by it. But you know, that's what happened. And that's what sort of propelled me into where I am now, because I started putting out like camera traps. Because I'm like, it took so much grief from one of my siblings and his offspring that I severed ties with them. And that was 7 years ago. Because, you know, I wasn't going to hear it. I was not going to be abused, insulted, or degraded. Just this,
you know, you're going to stand up for yourself and create boundaries, man.
Yeah.
Good for you.
What really happened is you said there was flurries. Some snow had collected on a tree branch and then fell in the wind, and the wind carried it and swirled around, and it created this illusion, and you just did all the rest in your head. I'm like, right, except that the illusion started on the ground and looked right up at my face. It was illuminating my head. So we were staring at each other and, you know, right. Yeah, but the point is that, you know, I was on a mission to try and prove that this thing was real. So I could be like, hey, you know, right there, you know, this type of stuff. And eventually I did get one on video, believe it or not. And I haven't, but, took a long time, but I ended up getting other things that I did not expect, which is the stuff that's currently on the website more coming.
So it turned out better. Good on you for realizing that was not a useful expenditure of your energy, and just to put it into like hanging out with us here rather than in that judgment zone. How about that? Very cool, man. Well done. Way to go. You're maturing and we're proud of you. Wanted to real quick ask you before we go into our afterthought here. And again, guys, check the link down in the show description for that. We're going to share screen. We're going to get into it. Tribe Called Quest. How the hell did you meet those guys? And what's that all about, man? Were you a fan before you got invited to do that? Just tell me all about it. Okay.
I was not a fan. Not that I was not a fan. Yeah. I just didn't know who they were. I think I was like 23 or 24 at the time. On my original college degree, from the now defunct University of the Arts. They just went out of business permanently like a week ago or something like that. But I was an animator. So my degree was in film and animation. And I used to do like some MTV stuff back then. This is in the late 80s.
Were you like the claymation, you know, and all those different transitions and stuff with the MTV logo? Was that what you were doing?
And I did cell animation. And
okay.
Making, you know, like...
That's awesome.
Yeah, like Bugs Bunny stuff, things of that nature.
Yeah.
Street Spot, Father Nature, The Talking Cloud, and different things like that.
How cool.
Yeah, I worked on a bunch of cereal commercials like Lucky Charms and stuff. You know, Double Dragon, Nintendo's Double Dragon 2, The Revenge.
That's awesome, man.
I mean, I wasn't always the head guy or anything like that, you know, more like an assistant animator. But yeah, I worked on a lot of stuff. And I had done some MTV stuff for John Woo and his brother Roger. And they called me up and Like I've been at a club till 4 in the morning, got number 5. They called me, I think it was like a Sunday morning or something like that. I'm like, whoa! Like woken up at a sound sleep at like 8 or 9 in the morning. I'm like, dude, Essen, we need you to do something for us. I'm like, sure, what's up? We want you to act in a rap video. And I was like, you mean you want me to do some animation for a rap video? No, we act in it. I'm like, I'm not an actor. And they were like, well, no, it's like, well, it's a simple part. It's a, like a non-speaking role and all. And we thought over and you're perfect for it. And I'm like, well, what is it? And they're like, we need somebody to play. I don't know if I'm going to say this in the air or not. They wanted me to play a police officer. You've seen the video. That's the role I play.
Yeah.
Okay. And I don't care. I'm going to say it anyway. So he goes, we need somebody to play a white racist cop. And you're perfect. And
it was the mustache. Did you have that already, or was that something?
That's not me.
Okay.
I'm in the middle. Dude, I was 24 then. Come on. That's John Dunham from Big Man Pictures. He was the owner of another studio. I can't believe you said that. How could you look at that video and not recognize me, man? Now I am outraged womanhood right now.
I think it's great you're taking me seriously, but go ahead. Go ahead. This is all so right. Much fun.
Well, I haven't slept much, so I'm kind of like not firing all cylinders, but
you're doing great.
So, and I remember looking at the phone. I was like, John, I'm not sure how to take that. This takes off. He goes, no, nothing like that. We need somebody like a Caucasian guy, tall, muscular. I was very fit back then. You can even see through the shirt, the police officer shirt, whatever, all this stuff, blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, he goes, it pays. I'm like, how much? And he told me, I was like, all right, I am your guy. I will prostitute myself for this or whatever. So, and it was funny because the kid who directed it, I went to high school with, as it turned out, and everything. And Peter Dinklage was in the two, met him at the rap party briefly, and all that. So, but yeah, we went there. It was filmed in a jail. And, everybody can, if people go on my website, either CronusRyson.com or MaxFaulkner.com. You can see the, I think it's under the Q&A and stuff like that. You can see the link directly to the video and all that. My daughter always enjoys busting my chops about it, showing it to her friends and all that.
I love it, dude, because I'm a Tribe fan, man. So it's really cool to see that you're in this, dude. It's really cool. And yeah, Peter Dinklage and the poncho and everything. I'm going to link it. In fact, it's over on your website, which is going to be linked. So go to his About Max. And it's linked on there, guys. We'll just do it that way. Very cool, man. I absolutely love it. I think it's a cool thing.
They were great, by the way.
I was about to, I know that they are, but I was about to ask what you thought of the guys. Yeah.
It was just funny. And then recently, just a couple of years ago, they had a movie in theaters out about their whole life story. And the video was in there. So like my ugly mug was like on the giant screen, in theaters and stuff like that. I was like, yes, I have been in the movie theaters.
Well, you're getting this. That is a queef of self-deprecation. Could you hear that? Did you hear that sound?
Yeah, that wasn't me.
No, that's a queef of self-deprecation. You called yourself ugly. So anytime we talk shit about ourselves on the show, you get that as a pattern interrupting tool to let you know that we don't accept and we don't think you're ugly at all. But I want to ask you before we roll out to our afterthought, which again, guys, all the ways to find located down in the show description, as well as the afterthought. Come join us for those. Great way to support your favorite show. And we're going to go into some balls deep stuff with some video share and all kinds of shit. I've got some real things pulled up here and it's trippy as shit. It makes my eyes hurt to talk about it, but we're going to do it anyway. So, dude, before we let you run here, though, will you just give us what gets you out of bed every morning? It's a weird place getting weirder every damn day. You've got to choose to get up and continue with this shit. So what's your motivation, man?
Well, when the alarm clock fails, it's usually my daughter screaming, Dad, time to get up. I'm hungry. And that's it. That's pretty much, all. Other than that, waking up with a 25-pound Siberian forest cat on your chest, purring, and you're like, I can't breathe. That type of stuff. You haven't seen our cats, have you?
No, like a haint, like those sleep paralysis haints.
A small snow leopard.
Okay, awesome.
No. Yeah, very fluffy. But anyway, I enjoy what I do, and I enjoy investigating things. It's kind of like being a seeker. What was that? A seeker of knowledge, or something. But and that's, so I mean, I've been privileged, blessed to discover amazing things, that have fallen into my lap. Like the first video on the website, and just to be clear, since I'm not a fan of YouTube getting ongoingly rich and paying people 20 cents. Okay. So it is a pay-per-view site because I do produce these documentaries myself, etc. But right now there's footage on there, 30 seconds of footage of Jenny's restroom. Very simple. I pull pants. It appears to be a reptilian. Yeah, you can see them. The second one I'm working on now is already in production, is a phantom cat. And it is, at least quite, it starts off as a cat and then it is no longer a cat. And people see that, they're gonna be like, no way, etc. But when you go through it frame by frame, which I analyze, people will see it. It's miraculous.
Just want to take a moment and thank Max Hawthorne for coming by and blowing minds with all the wild shit he is encountering in the realm. All the ways to find him again, guys, are going to be located down in the show description. His website, of course, maxhawthorne.com, located down there, guys. A really cool resource. He's doing some really fun stuff, and I'm grateful for our connection. Now, if you want to connect further with us and support your favorite show at the same damn time, check the link down in the show description for the Patreon, and that's where all the bonus content is hosted as well. That's where you can sign up to join the Insider Hangouts that we have going very often, guys. We're having a blast with these things. In fact, if you want to join one, we've got one this Saturday with Chris Matthew. It's going to be a banger. So definitely sign up in the link down there, and if you can do so before the time of the show, I'll send you the link. That's how it works. Just want to thank you guys again, of course, for all of the support, for just being badasses. Also want to just kind of put in your ear to go out in this incredibly wild fucking realm, whatever the shit this thing is, and get out of the left-hand lane, of course. Pick up a piece of litter. You see it floating around out there. Might as well. Be just, kind of kinder to yourself, of course, but, a lot of crazy shit going on now. A lot of lizard turds, a lot of non-lizard turds, people that are also lizards. So, it's kind of tricky time. So just navigate this thing with grace. And, of course, just go out there. It's a wild-ass place, man. Just be good to one another. Thank you guys for liking, subscribing, sharing, all the shits. But really, just for showing up as you. We'll see you next time.
At your job, do you ever have to deal with a nose roller? How about a snub pulley? Well, if you're installing a new conveyor belt system, dealing with the different components can sound like you're speaking a foreign language. Luckily, you've got a team ready to help. Grainger's technical product specialists are fluent in maintenance, repair, and operations. So whenever you want to talk shop, just reach out. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.